Okay, welcome to the Shiur Maral Duraya in Parsha Shlach. The end of Parsha Shlach talks about the mitzvah of tzitzis, a familiar parsha that we say twice a day. So I wanted to comment on two Rashis/Marals that talk about the mitzvah of tzitzis and its significance, certainly something that we can relate to on a regular basis. So in Perek Tetzvav, Pasuk Lamed Tes, the Pasuk famously says, V'hoyo lachem l'tzitzis, the tzitzis should be tzitzis for you, re'itzem also, you'll look at them, u'zecharetzem is called mitzvot Hashem, v'atzitzem also, you'll remember all of the mitzvot of Hashem and you'll perform them. How will looking at the tzitzis cause you to remember all of the mitzvot of Hashem? So Rashi writes as follows, again a very famous Rashi, Sheminyan gematria so tzitzis sheishmeos. The gematria of the word tzitzis is 600. Ushmona chutim. There are 8 strings for each of the tzitzis. The chamisha ksharim and 5 knots for each of the tzitzis. So 600 plus 8 plus 5 hare tayag comes out to 613. So the very structure of the tzitzis combined with the gematria of the word tzitzis will remind you by definition, you know, if you have a good head for gematria, it will remind you by definition of the 613 mitzvahs, the Tayyid mitzvahs, and that's what it means, literally. Uzecharetem is called mitzvahs Hashem, built into the very structure of the tzitzis is a reminder for the Tayyid mitzvah. So writes Rashi. Comes the Ramban, before we get to the Maral, comes the Ramban on this Pasuk, and he says, I really don't, it's the famous Rashi, but I really don't understand Rashi, on two levels. First of all, the gematria of tzitzis doesn't really come out to 600. What do you mean? Well, tzitzis, sadi yud, sof, is indeed 600, but if you look in the Chumash, tzitzis is always spelled with only one yud. That's if you're careful when you're pronouncing the words during Krishna, right? So really you're supposed to say V'hayolochem l'tzitzis, right? In other words, there's one yud, but then it's spelled chaser. It's, you know, one is a chirik mole, one is a chirik chaser. So in other words, if you're actually going by the written word in the Chumash, it's actually 590, it's not 600. Right, so that's the Ramban. Yes, you're making such a big deal about the gematria, but you have to fit it in to the actual spelling. Number two, says the Ramban, it's pretty clear if you look in the Gemara that the requirement for 5 ksharim, for 5 knots, is ar minog, but is not the din d'oraisa. In other words, it's not a Torah requirement to have 5 knots. Ar minog is to have 5 knots. But the truth is, you're able to get away with 2 knots. And again, that's true halacha l'maisa. Sometimes you have that a person will have a tzitzis and one of the knots comes undone, and the chulios, the coils, become undone. You look down in your tzitzis and it comes out. You look and you see it's only 4 knots, right? That's like, it could be only 3 knots. I mean, sometimes a lot of it comes undone. Okay, so you know it's not mahuda. You're supposed to try to put it back together, but it's still kosher as tzitzis, even lacking the 5 knots. The way Rashi presents it, the 5 knots is an integral part of the requirements of tzitzis. In other words, the 5 knots is necessary in order to get to the minyan tayyag, which would seem to imply that the 5 knots is ma'akev. That if you don't have the 5 knots, it's not called tzitzis anymore. And that's not true. That's certainly not true, says the Ramban. So based on that, the Ramban suggests another interpretation of the pasuk. U'ri'isem osol z'chartem is called mitzvah sashem means you'll see the tcheles. And this is akin to what Chazal tell us, that the Tehles reminds us of the sea reminds us of the sky reminds us of the Kitri HaKavod. And although the Tehles doesn't reference the mitzvot in a direct fashion, but in an indirect fashion, the Tehles reminds us of the Kitri HaKavod, of God's throne of glory, and as such, that certainly is going to be a reminder to do the mitzvot, even though it doesn't remind us of the mitzvot per se. So writes the Ramban. The Maral is going to address the second of these two questions of the Ramban, namely, you know, why does Rashi work with the 5 ksharim, the 5 knots, given the fact that the five mouths don't seem to be a fundamental requirement of sitzes, that's just our practice of making five knots. And you know, how can you say that the Torah itself in a pasuk would be referencing the five knots in some kind of way? The Maral does not deal with the first kasha of the Ramban, namely, you know, the pasuk in the pasuk, sitzes is written chaser, it's written without the second yud, so it doesn't actually come out to 600, it comes out to 590. So what do you do with that? So other Rishonim, okay, just not the Maral per se, but once we're on the topic, we might as well throw it in. Other Rishonim, the Bali Atosis and the Chizkuni, you know, on Chumash itself, suggest the following interesting interpretation to help us understand Rashi. The Pasuk says, V'haya lachem litzitzis. Now the truth is, it's not really clear why you need the lamed in front of that word sitzis. V'haya lachem sitzis. It should be sitzis. What do you mean, v'haya lachem litzitzis? So some of the Rishonim say that the lamed is extraneous, and the lamed is put in there to make the gematria work. How so? Because there are three times that the word sitzis appears in the parsha. So if you take each of them is missing a yud, right? So the missing yud is 10 per mention of tzitzis. That's a sum total of 30. The extra lamed at the beginning of the Hayah Lachem litzitzis, you know, makes up for the three missing yuds, and that way you end up really having the gematria, the way Rashi presents it, really having 600, a value of 600 for each of the mentions of tzitzis, even if it's sort of indirect. Okay, it's an interesting gematria-based answer. That's an answer which is given by the Rishonim, you know, to answer the first kasha, which is raised by the Ramban. You know, the word sitzis is spelled chaser, spelled without the yud. How do you work with that to get a number of 600? Just mentioning that, that's just by way of introduction. The Maral is going to deal with the second issue. It's Maral himself, actually. Let's talk about the sitzis issue. I mean, he gives what maybe is an easier answer than many of the Rishonim. He writes, half of God should tzitzis chaser, hainu should be Torah who chaser, ve'ein ha-gematria nita Hashem ha-Torah eich chasav bo, ela al ha-gematria al pi Hashem shol tzitzis ulikra b'shol tzitzis b'deiz yudin. The Maral gives what, you know, maybe it's just the less complicated answer, that although it's written in the Torah tzitzis without a yud, certainly it's meant to be read tzitzis as if it's two yudin, because we don't read it tzitzas, we read it tzitzis, right? So it's an implied yud. So the gematria is based, if you will, on the kri rather than the ksiv. That's the Maral's own answer to that kasha which is raised by the Ramban. What about the Ramban's second kasha? So he writes the Maral, Masha Omar Miminya Aksharavad Sitzis, Hikshar Ramban, the Ramban asks the kasha, Sare Kolza Elusimin Hagenu Ato. The whole concept of having five knots is in accordance with our minhag. Shemin adin ein la'asos chamisha ksharim. The truth is, we don't really need to have five knots, right? Again, as we mentioned before, it would be sufficient just to have two knots. And furthermore, the gam cheskutin ein olam tzricha. Shreilati beisil shvosh chutin betalus. The truth is, strictly speaking, it's not even clear that we need to have eight strings. The eight strings are four strings that are doubled over. But the Shita of Beis Hillel is recorded in the Gemara Menachos is that you take three strings and double them over, and you have six strings in the tzitzis. So, again, if there's even some Shita that holds that way, even though our practice is to have eight strings, it kind of takes the wind out from Rashi's interpretation, because Rashi's interpretation, you know, presupposes that the five knots and the eight strings are a fundamental part of the mitzvah of tzitzis to the point that they're referenced in the pasuk itself. And again, clearly that's not the case, says the Rambam. So comes the Maral with a fascinating answer. Nira she'en zekusha, zivadai l'fi ha-Torah ha-yagam kem simen, shreyesh tar-yag, zahaino tzitzis b'gamashri ha-tof reish, ובימיהם היו אוסם י' מחויו כמו שמפורש בפרק התחילס ועשת הרי תאייג. Says the Maral, I'm not bothered by the fact that maybe once upon a time there were shittas that said that you only had to have six drinks, and maybe there weren't maxed to have five knots. No, so they had some other way of getting to the magical number of 613. Again, the word shittas itself is the gematria 600, as the Maral explains. And their minhag was, as he quotes the Gemara, was to make 13 chuyos, 13 coils, in the tzitzis, kind of like what we have in the last set of chulyas that we have is 13. They had 13 chulyas altogether, so that comes out to 613. What's the significance of these 13 chulyos? So he goes on to explain that it corresponds to the Shiva Rikim, to the seven levels of heaven, and the six Havirim, the six empty spaces between the Shiva Rikim. Don't ask me to explain anything more than that, but the one thing I can explain from that is that 7 plus 6 equals 13. Okay, good. So that was the significance of 13. However, he writes, okay, but you know, you might say that that's still not going to help us. That was good. So they had a minug of making 13 cholios. But still, it's clear that that's not a fundamental requirement, because we have many more chulyos. You know, we have 7, then 9, then 13. So how do you... still, we're left ultimately with the kasha. So he says as follows. Mashikosav rashi shemini gemafia shalom v'chule hachi terusha heyach osa simen l'chol tayyad mitzvus Sheminyan gematria shalom v'chulei. Hu adim b'yomim horishonim also misper gematria shal tayag ba'ofen acher. Kidei shi'alu l'misper tayag. V'akol echot. Christ the Maral follows, and it comes out as interesting, I think it's an interesting chiddush halacha l'maisa. It's true that there isn't a clear number of knots that you absolutely need to make. You have to make two, but you can certainly make more than two. It's not clear that you have to make five, and it's not clear that you have to have eight strings, and it's not clear that you have to have only 13 chulyos. However, what is clear is that you have to make some kind of heker, something within the structure of the tzitzis, so that something will add up to 13. And this way, the gematria of tzitzis itself will be 600, and then you'll do something additionally within the tzitzis to generate a number of 13. Right? That, according to the Maral, seems to be a mitzvah d'oraisa, seems to be part of the Torah mitzvah of tzitzis. Make it work so that somehow you get 613. Again, you know, you may not have a set number of sharim, you may not have a set number of chulyos, you may not have a set number of chutin, but whatever you're going to do, you have to make the magic number of 613 come out one way or the other. That essentially, says the Maral, is what Rashi means. Rashi isn't telling us that you dafka need to have 8 strings and 5 sharim, 5 knots, because again, that's to some extent that's a function of minog, to some extent that's a function of taking a certain position with regard to machlokas and minachos as to how many strings you need to have. It's not possible that you would necessarily have that, but one way or the other, you need to have 600 and then 13 of something, and it actually just happens to reference the way that we, in our practice today, make up the number of 613. But if we weren't going to do that, we would have to figure out some other way to symbolize the number 13 within the tzitzis themselves. So a very interesting interpretation. And again, it comes out with implications, halacha l'maisa, that I don't know. I'm not sure what to say in terms of practical halacha, but we mentioned before that if one of the knots gets unraveled, so you have 4 knots as opposed to 5 knots, it's just the shokasha. Going through Maral, it sounds like, you know, okay, you don't necessarily need 5 knots, but you do need to compensate in some way you know, to make sure that you have the requisite number 13. Now, again, according to the Maral, it would only be a problem if the sitz knot unraveled on all four of the sitzes, right? Because, in other words, the symbolism of the five knots is maintained on at least one of the sitzes, right? But in theory, if you were to remove the fifth knot from all four of the sitzes, it sounds like, according to the Maral, the Torah itself would require that you would do something to somehow hint at this number of 13 in some other way to compensate for the lack of that last knot. Again, I'm not sure if you say that halacha l'maaseh, but that would seem to be what emerges from a reading of the Maharal. What's that? I would think only the tzitzis. In other words, the tzitzis is really, it's within the tzitzis, you know, that you really have all of these symbolisms. Okay, so that's one interesting idea the Maral has with regard to tzitzis. Let's fast forward to the very, very end of the Sedra, where the Maral also mentions this idea of shmona chutim, of eight strings. Again, even though we said before that whether you need eight strings is a machlokas hachanoim, you know, whether you need eight strings, you can get away with six strings. But be that as it may, Rashi once again at the end of the Sedra mentions the eight strings and talks about their significance in a way which is a little bit surprising. So writes Rashi, Shmona chutim sheba, the significance of having eight strings in the tzitzis is as follows. Keneged shmona yomim shesho Yisrael nesiyasum in Mitzrayim asha omru shiro al hayom. The eight strings in the tzitzis correspond to the 8 days that transpired from the time that the Jews left Mitzrayim until they sang shiro after the Kriyas Yamsuf and after the sea had closed over the Mitzrayim. Now, that sounds nice, except for one thing. We've always been taught, and in fact, Rashi himself says this back in Parshas Pesach, that Kriyas Yamsuf took place on Shvi Shel Pesach. Right? If it took place on Shvi Shel Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach, it wasn't 8 days that transpired. What's that?
It was the eighth day.
Why was it the eighth day? You still only get 7 days. It's Shvi Shel Pesach, right? In other words, you know, the first day is Aleph Shel Pesach, and this is Shvi Shel Pesach, right? So it's the seventh day, right? If the sea split on the seventh day, and they sang Shira on the seventh day, what's Rashi talking about? They sang Shira on the eighth day after they left Mitzrayim. They kept Yom Tov Sheni. What's that? Right. So how do you understand it? But then, of course, the water is right, you know, so, right, they're really keeping out the shade right from the beginning. But again, very, very, very strange. So, the Maral comments on this. Hiksha Hare'im, the Mizrahi asked the Kasa, so the Tarsus Bishalach Kasa Brashi Shashira Amu Beyond Zayin Shal Pesach. Rashi writes explicitly in Tarsus Bishalach, Tarsus Bishalach Kasa Kay, that they sang Shira on the seventh day of Pesach. L'chach anu karim es haShira b'yom zayin, and that's why we read the Shira as the Kriyas HaTorah on the seventh day of Pesach. I mean, we make a big deal out of the fact that Shri Yisrael Pesach corresponds to Kriyas Yamsuf, but that's against this Rashi l'chora at the end of Shlach. The Kam Piris, the highest Shira b'yom ches, here he's saying that the Shira took place on the eighth day after they left Mitzrayim. The answer is as follows. The Minsof Hayin Seer Aryom Zayin Shal Pesach Hu Zayin Yomim. True, from the end of the process of the Exodus, in other words, when they actually went out, until the Shiras Hayom was 7 days. However, Mitchilas Hayin Seer Asha Amru Shira, from the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim until they sang Shira, that's Ches Yomim. That's 8 days. How do you figure? The Choshes Man has Cholos HaYetziah Mechatzos Yudalim. We calculate the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim not from Tesvav, the 15th, when they actually left, from Chatzos, from midday, on Erev Pesach, on the 14th. But it was, if you look at the Psukim, they sang the Shir very early in the morning. In other words, it doesn't work though. In other words, they crossed the Yam Suf at night, and then the Pasuk says that it was towards morning that the sea closed back again. So in other words, by the time they would have seen the Mitzrayim, you know, washed up on the shore, it would have been sometime on the morning of the seventh day. In other words, if you tell me it was close to Shkia time when this whole thing happened, and maybe it crossed into the next day already, so that's hard. Now, again, you might be able to get away with that if you start playing around with the following. There is a body of opinion that says that the whole notion that Hayom Holi Chachar Alayla, in other words, that the day begins at night and, you know, continues into the day, is only post-Matan Torah. Pre-Matan Torah, maybe the day begins in the morning and ends at night. So from that perspective, you know, maybe you can say, okay, the previous night was the seventh, and the morning when the sun rose, that was already the eighth, and that's what Rashi is talking about over there. There, you could explain it that way, but again, you'd have to get involved. First of all, you'd have to understand why Rashi all of a sudden over here is talking about, why does he switch it, you know, why does he switch the calculation? You have to make that assumption that that the days before Matan Torah are reckoned from sunrise to sunrise as opposed to from sunset to sunset, which is not possible. Okay, so he writes that we calculate, you know, this Rashi is calculating Yetzias Mitzrayim from Chatzos, from midday on the 14th. In what sense is that Yetzias Mitzrayim? She'oz Yotza Mirshutz Mitzrayim Kevon Sheshachtu Atesach Shehu Eloheyem V'lohayu Rashoim Lomer Dover Lohem V'zeh Nikra Yetzia Mirshutza. Very beautiful idea, says the Maral. What do the Jews do Erev Pesach after Chatzos? They shechted the Korban Pesach. What's the Korban Pesach? As we know, that was the god of the Mitzrayim. The fact that they could shech the god of the Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim were powerless to stop them, that in its own right is at the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it represents in a very, very tangible way that the Jews were in charge. The Egyptians were no longer their masters. They had no control over them, right? And although physically they hadn't left, they weren't going to leave, you know, until the following day, but in a certain psychological sense, they had already broken away from the Mitzrayim as being their masters, and they were now charting their own destiny, you know, with the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, with the Shechting of the Korban Pesach. Even though the actual physical exodus took place on the 15th, nonetheless, they had begun to leave Mitzrayim already at that point. The Raya showed Tziyom Erishut Mitzrayim B'Yom Yadalit, and the eternal proof, says the Maral, that Yetzias Mitzrayim on a certain level is calculated from Chatzos on the 14th, is Shaharei Yisr Chomis Maskel B'Yom Arbos on the Chatzos Ba'elah. Right? Because after all, to this day, the Isser, the prohibition to eat chametz, begins, according to the Torah, at midday on Erev Pesach. Again, Midrabbanan, we push it up 2 hours, but Midaraisa begins on midday on Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Why does the Isser chametz begin? Because the Isser chametz is tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Maral, on some level, began already at Chatzos on Yudalit. Right? I mean, why wouldn't the Issur of Chametz be linked to the mitzvah of eating matzah? You know, you would think that it's only once you have a mitzvah to eat matzah that the Issur of Chametz should begin. Right? It's to show you that on some level Yetzias Mitzrayim already begins on the 14th of Chatzos. And, once Yetzias Mitzrayim has begun, so the Isser of Achilas Chametz already begins at that point. So, in short, says the Maharal, when Rashi talks about how the Shira was taking place on the eighth day since they left Mitzrayim, and that's why we have eight chutim in the Tzitzis, he's calculating from the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not the physical Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the psychological Yetzias Mitzrayim, the sense that they were no longer Meshuggah, they were no longer enslaved to the Egyptians on any level, they were able to kill their god, and and the Egyptians didn't say boo, they didn't say anything in response. So that's Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's Tchilas Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and 8 days from that is the Shiras Hayom. Hakam the Maral, what's left for us to explain, which Bez Hashem will do after tonight, is okay, that's a very beautiful idea, but why reference that idea here, of all places, with regard to Tzitzis? I mean, why is it all of a sudden, with regard to Tzitzis, that the Maral introduces this idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim really, or the Rashi, according to the Maral, introduces this idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim really begins from Chatzos on Yudalid? Why would that be an idea which is particularly relevant to the idea of Tzitzis? So talk about that. We'll pick up Ezra Hashem right after Ma'ariv. Hey, welcome to the second part of the Shir Maral Guraye Pashas Shlach. So we left off with a very interesting idea from the Maral, where the Maral is trying to explain Rashi. Rashi writes at the end of the Sedra that the reason we have Chesh Chutim, the reason we have eight strings in the Tzitzis, is because it's a reminder to the fact that Kal Yisrael sang Shira on the eighth day after they left Mitzrayim. And points out the Maral that contradicts what Rashi writes in Parshas Peshalach, and what we've always been taught, that the Kal Yisrael sang Shira on the seventh day after they left Mitzrayim, on Shri Yisrael Pesach. So the Maral writes that for these purposes, Rashi was calculating Yetzias Mitzrayim not from the 15th, when they actually physically left, but from midday Chatzos on the 14th, when they shechted the Korban Pesach. At that point, they were still physically in Mitzrayim, but psychologically, the shechting of the Korban Pesach represented Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were showing, in a very, very demonstrative way, that they were no longer under the Shibud, they were no longer under the control of the Mitzrayim, to the point that they were ready to check their God, and the Mitzrayim were powerless to react in any way. So when Rashi is hezbening the 8 days since Yetzias Mitzrayim, he means 8 days since the 14th, not 8 days since the 15th. What's left dangling, excuse the pun in a discussion about Tzitzis, but what's left dangling is the question as to why out of the blue, again, excuse the pun about Tzitzis, why out of the blue all of a sudden Rashi is utilizing this idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim begins from the 14th, an idea which is a beautiful idea, it makes sense, we understand it, but why all of a sudden is he referencing this idea with regard to the Tzitzis? So the Maharal himself does not address this, but by Hartman in his notes does, and he offers a beautiful suggestion. He says that in Talmud, this is Rabbi Hartman, why should the mitzvah of tzitzis be tied to the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what we normally think of? One perhaps can explain it based on the Maral's words commenting on the Gemara Menachos v'Chidushi Agados, but the Maral writes as follows: that Kiloshim Tzitzis Teirusha K'maloshim Tzitz Hasodeh Sayotzem in Hasodeh Mikra Tzitz. The very word Tzitzis can be related etymologically to the word Tzitz Hasodeh. Tzitz Hasodeh, Pasuk in Yeshaya, means that which springs forth, that which sprouts from the ground. The sprout. Tzitzis means the sprout. Right? So too, the tzitzis, as it were, sprout from the beged. They come off of the beged itself. The davka b'sof ha-beged, k'sof ha-beged yotze min ha-beged. Ulefikach shkula mitzvah tzitzis k'neged kol ha-tara kula. K'kola mitzvah sh'adam osa al-yadam ha-adam hu v'po'al ha-yidei maisa ha-mitzvah. In other words, the mitzvahs, why does tzitzis, says the Gur Aryeh, remind us of the mitzvahs? Because mitzvahs are what a person brings to fruition. Or mitzvahs, tzitzis, who gamkein, who yitzia lapoa. Shekol ha-mitzvot yesh la-odom l-kayim l-hosi ma'asov v'pola. Klal ha-dover ki mitzvot sitzish yesh la-odom yitzfiya el ha-pola. Alright, so he repeats this idea a number of times that sitzish represents translating the idea into action. What the Maral seems to be saying over there is the following idea. The beged, the garment, represents theory, the idea. Tzitzis, which emerged from the beged, represents translating theory into action. And they are the first blossoming, the first sprouting forth of those theories associated with the beged into actual action. Therefore, they're associated with the mitzvahs, because what are the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs are the translation of the theories of Judaism into actual practical activities represented by the 613 mitzvahs. Maybe, okay, yeah.
The other thing is also that the prayer of Tzitzis represents the prayer of the entire Mitzvah. So that's Eretz. So Eretz, the Eretz Tishmach means that the Pesach itself is created
this. This is the stuff. Okay, very nice. Very, very nice to hear that. So what does Rabbi Harman want to do with this? So Rabbi Harman takes this saga where he says the whole idea of tzitzis is being motzi min hakoach el hapoal, taking something that is theory and extending it to action. When did Yitzias Mitzrayim begin in theory, according to the Maharal? Not on the 15th of Nisan, but on the 14th of Nisan. That was the theory of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then the subsequent days translate that theory into action. In a sense, that's very appropriate for the mitzvah of Tzitzis, the way the Maharal understands it. If Tzitzis is also a translation of theory into practice, so it makes sense that the Tzitzis should reference the first emerging of this theory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even if it hasn't been fully developed yet. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not going to come to fruition until the following day, the 15th, but the first blossomings of Yetzias Mitzrayim are already taking place on the 14th. Right. In other words, where do you go, from the first stirrings of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the final completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right, that's when they were really free, because the Mitzrayim were dead. Right, so from the first stirrings to the final completion is from Yudalid until Shvi Shel Pesach, because Shvi Shel Pesach is, the actual destruction of the Mitzrayim. The knowledge that Klal Yisrael have that they're never going to be harmed again by the Egyptian captors. That's what Tatman wants to explain, I think, very nicely. That Dafka in the area of Tzitzis, it makes sense to show the whole experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim from its earliest beginnings until it comes to fruition, with Kriyas Yam Suf and the drowning of the Mitzrayim on Shvi Shel Pesach. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos, and the Rez Hashem next week we'll be back to the Wednesday night for this year.